My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Team USA Women's Soccer, Japan, in extra time right now, knotted up at 0-0. Nil-nil in the soccer world, as this is a quarterfinals matchup here for a spot in the semis at the Olympics. And did want to mention, you've got Ashburn's own Emily Fox there in at right back, and Trinity Rodman in at striker. We'll see if she can lead the U.S. here to the semifinals. Rose Lavelle and Lindsey Horan are the ones that I think could make the biggest difference here in extra time, as they're really the two that Team USA counts on. It's been a ton of fun to watch them. There's other quarterfinals matchups today. They're going to be really good. Canada, Germany, and then France against Brazil. Women's soccer at 3 p.m. definitely should be on your viewing list. USA men's basketball 5-on-5 has their last game in group play, which tips off at 11:15. LeBron James, Steph Curry, and the Avengers taking on Puerto Rico in their final group stage game. They've already defeated Serbia and the South Sudan to have a spot in the quarterfinals that begins on August 6th. Now, they just want to lock up that top seed. The way that basketball does it at the Olympics is sort of like soccer, where goal differential matters, point differential matters. So Team USA not just has to beat Puerto Rico, but they want to beat them by a wide margin to make sure they hold that lead still over Germany, who is undefeated in their group, taking down Japan, Brazil, and the host country, France, led by Victor Wembanyama. So game today for Team USA against Puerto Rico tips off in about 12 minutes. Game August 6th will be the quarterfinals. August 8th will be your semifinals, with your gold medal match being next Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. As I've really enjoyed watching these Olympics. I will say for Team USA, they've gotten the results, but I don't think it's been as like sexy and as many like trick plays and stuff as I was kind of hoping for, right? Like, these are the best players in the NBA, and they're the best players. They're trying to prove they're the best players on the planet representing Team USA. When you had like LeBron James and Steph Curry and all these talented players here down low, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, kind of shocked that one of the lead scorers in one of the games was Bam Adebayo. Like, am I sleeping on Bam Adebayo being that good? Is it just that he got a bunch of lobs, assists from his teammates? I don't know about you, Max, but I was expecting some other plays to shine more. Anthony Edwards has been a little quiet.
Yeah, Ant's been a little bit disappointing. Like, Steve Kerr is also kind of messing with the lineups, so that doesn't really, like, I don't know, mean anything for play in terms of everything, but Ant, you know how Ant is. When it's his time, it's his time in his head.
Yeah. Well, in one of the games, they used Kevin Durant to go on a run to get the victory. And then the next game, it was Bam Adebayo along with the bench unit as Jason Tatum was thrown into the starting lineup. That was a weird situation. Jason Tatum wins the NBA championship, doesn't win MVP. Instead, it's his teammate Jaylen Brown. They choose Derek White over Jaylen Brown. And then game one, they play Derek White, the last man on the roster, over Jason Tatum, who didn't see a minute. I said this at the beginning. I don't know why Steve Kerr was chosen to be the coach.
I think Team USA Basketball is trying to break up the Boston Celtics.
Maybe. I think that it should have been Heat coach Eric Spoelstra. I don't know. I don't think Steve Kerr should get that much credit for being a great coach when you consider that Steph Curry is the big reason and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson that they had all that success on a team that Mark Jackson set up. I'm a Steve Kerr fan, but you could say he got lucky his entire career. If Michael Jordan doesn't pass up that ball, he doesn't hit the shot. If they don't have Steph Curry when he comes over to take over the coach, maybe he doesn't have that much success. Anyway, it's Team USA against Puerto Rico. Tip-off time in just 10 minutes. And I will say LeBron James has been the leader that this team needed him to be. He's been the vocal leader at practice from all reports and in the games. He's taken over games at times where we saw that in the exhibition. The two wins against Serbia and the South Sudan, they needed him to step up there in the final few minutes. That's exactly what he did. Now, I don't think Team USA has faced their toughest competition yet. I think that's going to come in the hands of Germany, Spain, or France, possibly Canada as well, because SGA has been lighting it up for them, and they have Jamal Murray as well. But I think we should mention that defensive player Jrue Holiday has been part of this team, and now he is questionable with a sprained ankle. So how does that affect the lineup that Steve Kerr throws out there? But I think that my biggest takeaway is Steve Kerr knows that the goal for this team was not just to come here and win every game and win gold. No, the reason they were called the Avengers is because they were avenging the 2023 defeat in the FIBA World Cup, where they finished in fourth place, and 2019, where they finished in seventh. And so they brought in the biggest stars, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James, to win, and win by a wide margin. And that's what he talked about ahead of this game against Puerto Rico. They want to blow out Puerto Rico, have all the momentum in the world, have the biggest point differential, and have that number one spot locked up for the quarterfinals. The reason, in my mind, LeBron James and Steph Curry joined this team was not just because, oh, well, we lost the FIBA World Cup. No, it's because they want to establish the dominance that America should have over the entire globe in basketball. They hear all the chatter that Jokic is the best player in the NBA and Doncic is second best and Giannis is the third best. They hear all that. That's why they went over to Paris, France to win the gold medal and to win by a wide margin. They're trying to kick butt and take names, and that's what I'm looking forward to watching with Team USA against Puerto Rico. Don't hold anything back. Win this game by 50. Have all the confidence in the world. Have all the momentum. Empty your entire bench. Get everybody involved so you can keep the momentum when the knockout round begins. And that, like I said, will be August 6th. Of course, talking about the Olympics, we should mention all the action that's going on today. And like I said, Peacock does a really good job of explaining everything. But I also have a guide in front of me right now. Men's basketball, Team USA, that's 11:15. Men's pommel horse, that's the Steven Narodisic. That begins right after Team USA basketball on the E! Channel or, of course, Peacock. Men's beach volleyball. USA Budinger has a knockout game. He needs to win this game. This is the lucky loser playoff. And so Chase Budinger, who I've really enjoyed watching, of course, you guys remember him from Arizona and being in the NBA involved in the dunk competition. He has been playing decent here in beach volleyball, but needs to win this one today. Women's soccer continues throughout the rest of the day today. Quarterfinals matchups, just an update. We're about finished with extra time one. They're going to have 15 more minutes after that, still tied at zero for Team USA against Japan. The men's decathlon will start today at 1 p.m. Men's shot put, Women's 100 meter, the semifinals with Shakari Richardson. That's at 150 today. You know what, Stub? I mean, not Stub, Max. I thought that the surfing was going to be much cooler to watch. It's kind of boring, the surfing.
It's, yeah, the... You know, you think it would be nice if they're when they were doing it in like Tahiti and French Polynesia, but you're really just kind of it's more of a peaceful thing to have on in the background than anything to like actively be watching.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And then the big match that I'll be watching is the men's mixed 4x100 medley relay that it does include Caleb Dressel in the pool. That is going to be today at 3:58. PM, and that will be available on NBC. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. That is 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I do want to continue our Olympics conversation here by taking your phone calls, and Max and I will chime in on the sport we're most surprised that we're watching and enjoying at the Summer Games in Paris, France. We'll continue our Olympic coverage here on The Fan coming up next. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on that Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the news, here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available around the country on the go with the free Odyssey app. Here were the scenes in Paris, France just a few minutes ago as Lindsey Horan wins the ball back for Team USA. A simple pass to Crystal Dunn, who shoots a long ball over the top to Trinity Rodman, who cuts inside with an impressive Cruyff turn. Left-footed shot. Over the keeper's outstretched arm, she tips it. It goes into the back of the net. Goal! 1-0 Team USA. How'd I do, Max? You like that?
You did great. That was awesome.
So we are done with the first of the extra time. Remember, in soccer, there's 2 15-minute periods of extra time. It's 1-0. It is not golden goal. They will play the final 15 minutes here. Japan will send all their women forward, trying to tie it and send it to penalty kicks as the U.S. women try to hold on for a spot in the semifinals. You all know Trinity Rodman is the daughter of the great basketball player Dennis Rodman, and she is such a star in the making, taking over for Alex Morgan as this team's striker and doing exactly what they needed there, a goal in the 107th minute to put USA on top of Japan. Max, you saw the replay. I mean, that's a good pass by Crystal Dunn over the top there, but Rodman did it all herself to get the goal. It wasn't like anybody else helped her out. She took on the defender, she trapped it, she got off a space for a shot and had a terrific blast with her left foot.
It was just absolutely absurd. Like the hook, the placement, just all of it. Right across the outstretched arm of the goalkeeper. It was magical.
I get frustrated all the time that USA sucks at men's soccer. But darn it, we are fantastic at women's soccer. We have been for a long time, and I love watching the women in the Olympics here as they're competing against Japan. 15 minutes left before they claim a spot in the semifinals if they can hold on to this 1-0 lead. Team USA men's basketball taking on Puerto Rico. We gave you the preview of that last segment. That's tipping off right now on Peacock. As we did mention, we wanted to take your phone calls. What's the one sport that surprised you with how much you're invested in it, how much you're interested in it at the Summer Games here in Paris, France? Max, I'll let you start things off here. All right. You can name a few, but give us your thoughts.
So I fall asleep with the Olympic channel on, so I'll wake up and just have like the most random live sports on, like rowing and stuff like that. But the one I've really been getting into is the ones with the nets, the table tennis games, the badminton games. I will lock in for those. It's badminton is crazy. I was watching this with my friends last night before we were going to the casino, and we were locked in. The lateral movement, the quickness, and then like the judgment of like the shuttlecock itself, because it loses so much. Like trying to be able to tell if it's going out or not is such a like hit or miss thing that can cost you a match. So like that is what I've been locked in on, surprisingly, is badminton.
No, that's a great point. First off, badminton is fun as hell to play in your backyard.
Yeah, it is.
It's so much fun. But the athleticism that's on display at the Olympics, the one-on-one is like impossible. I don't know how they do that. The doubles is fantastic, though. That is like must-watch television, the doubles in badminton. Table tennis is fun as well. That's definitely something that to point out. Mine is with the nets as well, but not the nets on a court like tennis or table tennis or badminton. I'm talking about the nets in the back of the goal. And I'm not actually talking about soccer. I'm talking about two sports, water polo and handball.
Great picks.
So let me start with water polo. It's the impressive nature how they catch the ball with one hand and like grip it. Like the way they kind of move there, it's like they cradle it like it's a lacrosse stick with their
hand. Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. And the passing is so on point, the accuracy. But really, it's the ability to swim with that speed. Like the biggest thing I've noticed watching water polo is the breakaways. You feel terrible for the defense. How the hell are you supposed to get back on a breakaway when you have to swim like 50 meters? And the breakaways, it's like you always score when there's a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1 fast break in water polo. That's been a lot of fun to watch, both men's and women's side of things. But I think my number one is handball. And that's just because it feels like you're watching the NBA. When I watch the NBA, I complain all the time. The rule says they're only allowed to take 2 steps. They're all taking 3. In handball, the rule says you're allowed to take 3. They're all taking 3 steps. But it's the clever nature in which they use those 3 steps to kind of maneuver around the defense. And then you can leap from right outside that line. And as long as you're in the air when you release it, you can land in front of it. So they're leaping like, it seems like 15 feet in the air to throw like, man, why didn't they have that at Silverbrook Elementary School when I was growing up, Max? I would have loved handball.
I think it got introduced to me in like middle school, like during some rainy day where the teachers didn't really have a big lesson plan. So they were like, we're going to teach you guys handball today. And we fell in love with it. Like me and the boys were just like in the gym all the time, just ripping balls. It was so fun.
I'm jealous of that. When we had a rainy day, our gym teacher introduced the sport of ultimate football, which I do love. It's ultimate frisbee with a football.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sport, and it should be in the Olympics, but I wish they taught me handball because I feel like that was for me. That was a great – it's a great sport. It is so much fun. And actually, I'm going to argue the women's is better to watch than the men's. I feel this way about soccer too. The women, like all the technical skills are still there, but it's slightly slower. They're not as fast as the men. And that's actually more appealing to the eye because you can see better the moves that they make. And some of the women, they still have the amazing leaping abilities, and they can throw the ball so fast with in handball there, and the shots are so accurate. But that's been the sport that I'm, like, blown away by. The other day I was at the bar, and I think it was France against Spain, and I watched the entire game. The Hall of Fame game was on, and I was more interested in women's handball.
It's very, the one thing about like handball in general is like it's terrifying to be a goalie. I couldn't imagine the feeling like just taking a penalty shot and then having some guy throw it right through your legs. You got to feel some type of way about that.
Yeah, I did want to give fencing a shout out.
Good one.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. I did fencing one summer at sleepaway camp. It was probably the best shape I've ever been in because you sweat like crazy. You sweat more than football players, I swear, because you're in this huge thing, right? And you just, all you do, Max, if I can try to paint a picture, is you slide forward and backwards, kind of like a defensive slide in basketball, but you do that nonstop for like 15 to 20 minutes straight over and over again, and you're trying to maneuver the other person's, you know, sword out of the way so you can poke them. It's so impressive, some of the things that you can do. And the one, either, I don't know if it was a man or a woman I was watching, I don't know if you saw this, Max, but they were like jumping during the fencing. They were like,
oh yeah,
it was like they were on
they were bunny hopping, like
they
in
were
a video
bunny hopping,
game. Yeah,
over and over and over again. I was like, how do you stop that?
So you can get away with that? All right, cool.
I guess it's not against the rules. Those are some of the sports I've really been enjoying. Also, tennis. We're gonna get Djokovic against Nadal in the finals. Alcaraz, who's trying to do something that it just doesn't even seem should be possible, trying to win Wimbledon, the French Open, and then the Olympics in like a 2-month span here. He's just the best in the world right now and might go down as the greatest of all time. Well, he's going to go against who's right now my GOAT, Novak Djokovic, in the men's finals for tennis. Should also mention there's tennis going on in Washington, D.C. Francis Tiafoe, the local kid, got the win in the City Open last night against Andrei Rublev, so he's got to the semifinals. This is like his home tournament because he's from the DMV. This is actually the farthest he's ever been. He's never reached the semifinals before. So congratulations to Francis Tiafoe, who's been playing some really good tennis there in D.C. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. If you had an Olympic event that you wanted to give a shout-out to that you've enjoyed watching, I think we've all really enjoyed the coverage of the Paris Olympics on NBC and Peacock. You can chime in 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. USA Women's Soccer just 3 minutes away from a spot in the semifinals. USA Men's Basketball struggling to Jose Alvarado in Puerto Rico, down 23-17 here early in the first quarter. As Max and I had a little bit of an argument during the break about who the top wide receiver is in the National Football League, we did want to go around the NFL here with a little NFL hits on AWOD Radio. Maybe, Max, see if you can find some kind of a NFL theme music here to get me fired up. But the number one thing I wanted to bring up was a fight at Steelers practice as things heat up.
Incredible and, fight video.
Right? And I think there's a legit thought that Justin Fields is going to win the starting job. I know the fan base wants Justin Fields. I'm so interested in how long Mike Tomlin will stick with Russell Wilson. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to stick with Russ for long. With the injury bug, the one-year contract, Justin's going to show the athletic traits that he has shown continuously throughout his career, and every NFL coach and player is going to be like, that guy's clearly better than Russell Wilson is right now. So I think he's going to win that starting job pretty quick.
The thing is that I do think that Justin Fields will have more turnovers than Russell Wilson, and I'm not sure the Steelers will have that big of a margin of error. Their defense should be good to keep them in games, and maybe they roll with Russell Wilson even if he's scoring just 17 points a game because Fields might have 3 turnovers, you know?
Yeah, I think, and that just kind of comes with Fields' style of play. So it's up to the Steelers like what they're more comfortable with. They might stick with Russ because, you know, he's the safe option. But after the 1 year, we'll see.
NFL Hall of Fame game was Thursday night, Bears and Texans. But it was our first chance to see the new kickoff rules. And I will admit I was wrong. I didn't like the new kickoff rules when they were first announced. And still, I think it looks weird. Watching it, I think it looks like rugby. It comes from the XFL. But I think my take is now that it will make kickoffs worth watching. And the problem is, obviously, it's never going to be like when I was a kid, when I was watching Devin Hester and all those great returners like Dante Hall. But it's at least going to be worth watching. Last year, it was just almost every kick was out of the end zone. So it's at least going to be worth watching the kickoff plays. Max, you wanted to bring up a three-horse race with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, three dying horses are trying to become the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. I think that's going to go great for Sean Payton.
Well, it's funny. My producer in Richmond, Stubb, we have this hot take here that we both think that Sean Payton will be fired in the middle of this season. Sean Payton will not last all 17 games.
I might agree with you there.
A big news in the NFL this week in terms of injuries was Justin Herbert. Now, I think this is the worst thing possible for the Chargers. They do believe he will be ready to return by the regular season, but you got a new coach, a new offense, and I had like little faith in the Chargers to be successful this season before. Now it's even less. I don't like their wide receivers outside of Palmer because they lose Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. And now you've got a backup quarterback throwing to these young wide receivers throughout the rest of training camp and preseason. I think it's going to be tough for Harbaugh to have success year one.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, like, you know Harbaugh's offense. He runs the ball like nobody else. But the problem is you have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, who are just coming from Baltimore, who don't have a great injury history. So I'm also a little bit concerned about the Chargers. But I mean, if you run the football and you run it successfully, then there's going to be a place for you in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. There's going to be battles around the league with all the different position groups as preseason has already technically began with the Hall of Fame game, but it will really heat up next week. The Commanders have their first preseason game just 7 days away. So the NFL's top 100 players came out, and personally, I like the list. Because the top spot is Tyreek Hill, and I have argued for years that he is the biggest difference maker on an NFL field. He's won Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. Did he win two with them, or did he win three with them? I think he won two.
Two sounds right.
Right, and then they lost one, and he was gone, and then they won. But maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, Tyreek Hill's proved it now with the Dolphins that it wasn't just Patrick Mahomes making him special. He is legit weapon on the football field. He comes in at number one. Max, I'll give you a chance here. Argue your guy, Justin Jefferson.
All right, so Justin Jefferson is another guy who's come to mind is Christian McCaffrey, just because of his versatility that he plays. But like JJ's got the length, he's got the speed. I won't argue against Tyreek Hill because like I'm not going to argue against a top five player in football, but for being ranked number one, it's just kind of what you prefer in your offense and what you value, which I think a lot of players value speed over everything.
Right. I just think when you talk about what corners get scared of most, like Justin Jefferson, you can make the incredible catch, the 50-50 ball. I think they're much more afraid of the speed of Tyreek Hill, but not just the speed, the change of direction from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point there. So
good. He can run any route, and also just like Justin Jefferson, he can high point a ball and come down with it. I did have a problem with Lamar being over two ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I love Lamar Jackson. He had an incredible season, but Patrick Mahomes should be number two.
I think we're doing the LeBron James thing where, like, you know, LeBron James deserves an MVP every single year he's playing basketball, but we have to, you know, switch it up a little bit.
You think this is Mahomes fatigue, maybe?
Yes, I absolutely think this is Mahomes fatigue after coming off of a Super Bowl win, which is insane.
Yeah. Lamar's made headlines saying he lost 20 pounds this year coming into it. Is that going to help him? Is he going to make him injury prone again? All I know is that Derrick Henry needs to be a stud for the Ravens. They went out and spent big-time money on him. He needs to look like 2020 Derrick Henry. Number three, the top 100 list was Christian McCaffrey. No complaints here. Four, Patrick Mahomes. Five, Myles Garrett. Six, Chris Jones. I personally would have had Travis Kelce ahead of them. I get it. You know, defensive players make plays, and it's a big part of, Myles Garrett was the defensive player of the year for a reason. He was an all-pro, and you had teams like triple-teaming him. But Travis Kelce makes more plays on a football field, in my mind, than an edge rusher. That's my take on that. So I would have had Travis in the top five. Six, Chris Jones. Seven, Trent Williams. Every time I read his name, I still get pissed off that he's not with the Commanders. Eight, T.J. Watt. Nine, Travis Kelce. 10, Max Crosby. He is one of my favorite edge rushers in the National Football League. I'm a little worried about the Raiders this season. It's Aiden O'Connell or it's Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania is going to get on the field because if you look at his career, he always gets on the field. It doesn't matter where he is. The guy ahead of him always gets hurt. It's like the funniest thing ever. Minshew, you'll see that mustache on a National Football League field this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Cardinals second-year outside linebacker B.J. Ujulari out for the season with a torn ACL. That just came out an hour ago. It's always the worst when you see someone lost for a season before preseason even begins based on something that happened at training camp. Max, would you say you're stock up or stock down right now on the Buffalo Bills?
Ah, man, that's a tough one because right after the big loss to Mahomes, like the 13 seconds game or whatever, like I was a big Bills guy, a huge fan. Then the regression of the past couple years has really been concerning. I think of revamped wide receiver core will it's make or break on them, really. That's where I'm at, because like I'm confident in Josh, so I think receivers is who it's up to.
I'm stock down on the Bills. I've got the Dolphins winning that division. I'm higher on both the Ravens and the Bengals than the Bills.
That's fair.
And I even think Stephon Diggs' new team, the Texans, could be better than the Bills this year. I think we're sleeping on how much talent the Texans brought in this offseason. Like, Stephon Diggs made the headlines. Joe Mixon's going to be a stud.
Yeah,
really is.
I wouldn't slip it under the radar.
Dalton Schultz is going to be a solid tight end. They've got multiple receivers, adding Robert Woods. You also have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown to go along with Stephon Diggs. Will Anderson's defensive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. USA Women's Soccer just 3 minutes away from a spot in the semifinals. USA Men's Basketball struggling to Jose Alvarado in Puerto Rico, down 23-17 here early in the first quarter. As Max and I had a little bit of an argument during the break about who the top wide receiver is in the National Football League, we did want to go around the NFL here with a little NFL hits on AWOD Radio. Maybe, Max, see if you can find some kind of a NFL theme music here to get me fired up. But the number one thing I wanted to bring up was a fight at Steelers practice as things heat up.
Incredible and, fight video.
Right? And I think there's a legit thought that Justin Fields is going to win the starting job. I know the fan base wants Justin Fields. I'm so interested in how long Mike Tomlin will stick with Russell Wilson. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to stick with Russ for long. With the injury bug, the one-year contract, Justin's going to show the athletic traits that he has shown continuously throughout his career, and every NFL coach and player is going to be like, that guy's clearly better than Russell Wilson is right now. So I think he's going to win that starting job pretty quick.
The thing is that I do think that Justin Fields will have more turnovers than Russell Wilson, and I'm not sure the Steelers will have that big of a margin of error. Their defense should be good to keep them in games, and maybe they roll with Russell Wilson even if he's scoring just 17 points a game because Fields might have three turnovers, you know?
Yeah, I think, and that just kind of comes with Fields' style of play. So it's up to the Steelers what they're more comfortable with. They might stick with Russ because, you know, he's the safe option. But after the 1 year, we'll see.
NFL Hall of Fame game was Thursday night, Bears and Texans. But it was our first chance to see the new kickoff rules. And I will admit I was wrong. I didn't like the new kickoff rules when they were first announced. And still, I think it looks weird. Watching it, I think it looks like rugby. It comes from the XFL. But I think my take is now that it will make kickoffs worth watching. And the problem is, obviously, it's never going to be like when I was a kid, when I was watching Devin Hester and all those great returners, like Dante Hall. But it's at least going to be worth watching. Last year, it was just almost every kick was out of the end zone. So it's at least going to be worth watching the kickoff plays. Max, you wanted to bring up a three-horse race with the Denver Broncos.
Three dying horses are trying to become the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. I think that's going to go great for Sean Payton.
Well, it's funny. My producer in Richmond, Stubb, we have this hot take here that we both think that Sean Payton will be fired in the middle of this season. Sean Payton will not last all 17 games.
I might agree with you there.
A big news in the NFL this week in terms of injuries was Justin Herbert. Now, I think this is the worst thing possible for the Chargers. They do believe he will be ready to return by the regular season, but you got a new coach, a new offense, and I had little faith in the Chargers to be successful this season before. Now it's even less. I don't like their wide receivers outside of Palmer because they lose Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. And now you've got a backup quarterback throwing to these young wide receivers throughout the rest of training camp and preseason. I think it's going to be tough for Harbaugh to have success year one.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, you know Harbaugh's offense. He runs the ball like nobody else. But the problem is you have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, who are just coming from Baltimore, who don't have a great injury history. So I'm also a little bit concerned about the Chargers. But I mean, if you run the football and you run it successfully, then there's going to be a place for you in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. There's going to be battles around the league with all the different position groups as preseason has already technically began with the Hall of Fame game, but it will really heat up next week. The Commanders have their first preseason game just 7 days away. So the NFL's top 100 players came out, and personally, I like the list. Because the top spot is Tyreek Hill, and I've argued for years that he is the biggest difference maker on an NFL field. He's won Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. Did he win two with them, or did he win three with them? I think he won two.
Two sounds right.
Right, and then they lost one, and he was gone, and then they won. But maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, Tyreek Hill's proved it now with the Dolphins that it wasn't just Patrick Mahomes making him special. He is legit weapon on the football field. He comes in at number one. Max, I'll give you a chance here. Argue your guy, Justin Jefferson.
All right, so Justin Jefferson is another guy who's come to mind is Christian McCaffrey, just because of his versatility that he plays. But JJ's got the length, he's got the speed. I won't argue against Tyreek Hill because I'm not going to argue against a top five player in football, but for being ranked number one, it's just kind of what you prefer in your offense and what you value, which I think a lot of players value speed over everything.
Right. I just think when you talk about what corners get scared of most, like Justin Jefferson, you can make the incredible catch, the 50-50 ball. I think they're much more afraid of the speed of Tyreek Hill, but not just the speed, the change of direction from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
right?
That's where he's so
good. He can run any route, and also just like Justin Jefferson, he can high point a ball and come down with it. I did have a problem with Lamar being over two ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I love Lamar Jackson. He had an incredible season. But Patrick Mahomes should be number two.
I think we're doing the LeBron James thing where, like, you know, LeBron James deserves an MVP every single year he's playing basketball. But we have to, you know, switch it up a little bit.
You think this is Mahomes fatigue, maybe?
Yes, I absolutely think this is Mahomes fatigue. After coming off of a Super Bowl win, which is insane.
Yeah. Lamar's made headlines saying he lost 20 pounds this year coming into it. Is that going to help him? Is he going to make him injury prone again? All I know is that Derrick Henry needs to be a stud for the Ravens. They went out and spent big-time money on him. He needs to look like 2020 Derrick Henry. Number three, the top 100 list was Christian McCaffrey. No complaints here. Four, Patrick Mahomes. Five, Myles Garrett. Six, Chris Jones. I personally would have had Travis Kelce ahead of them. I get it. You know, defensive players make plays, and it's a big part of, you know, Myles Garrett was the defensive player of the year for a reason. He was an all-pro, and you had teams like triple-teaming him. But Travis Kelce makes more plays on a football field, in my mind, than an edge rusher. That's my take on that. So I would have had Travis in the top five. Six, Chris Jones. Seven, Trent Williams. Every time I read his name, I still get pissed off that he's not with the Commanders. Eight, T.J. Watt. Nine, Travis Kelce. 10, Max Crosby. He is one of my favorite edge rushers in the National Football League. I'm a little worried about the Raiders this season. It's Aiden O'Connell or it's Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania is going to get on the field because if you look at his career, he always gets on the field. It doesn't matter where he is. The guy ahead of him always gets hurt. It's like the funniest thing ever. Minshew, you'll see that mustache on a National Football League field this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Cardinals second-year outside linebacker B.J. Ujulari out for the season with a torn ACL. That just came out an hour ago. It's always the worst when you see someone lost for a season before preseason even begins based on something that happened at training camp. Max, would you say you're stock up or stock down right now on the Buffalo Bills?
Ah, man, that's a tough one because right after the big loss to Mahomes, like the 13 seconds game or whatever, like I was a big Bills guy, a huge fan. Then the regression of the past couple years has really been concerning. I think of revamped wide receiver core will it's make or break on them, really. That's where I'm at, because like I'm confident in Josh, so I think receivers is who it's up to.
I'm stock down on the Bills. I've got the Dolphins winning that division. I'm higher on both the Ravens and the Bengals than the Bills.
That's fair.
And I even think Stephon Diggs' new team, the Texans, could be better than the Bills this year. I think we're sleeping on how much talent the Texans brought in this offseason. Like, Stephon Diggs made the headlines. Joe Mixon's going to be a stud.
Yeah,
really is.
That one's slipping under the radar.
Dalton Schultz is going to be a solid tight end. They've got multiple receivers, adding Robert Woods. You also have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown to go along with Stephon Diggs. Will Anderson's defensive star on the defensive side of the ball. You know they're going to be good on defense. They add Danielle Hunter as well, and they've got a good defensive coach in D'Amico Ryans. I think C.J. Stroud takes a slight step back. But they're still going to probably win that division. Jacksonville's the only other team that I can't think can compete in that AFC South.
I had a question for you. Are the Texans going to win a Super Bowl before the Dallas Cowboys?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
With the way the roster's stacked right now, it sounds like it, man.
They're trending up. They're definitely going in a right direction. Broncos going in the wrong direction. Over to the NFC, you know, I'm very interested to see what happens in the NFC West. I think the Rams are a sleeper there as long as they can stay healthy. The 49ers, I'm not the biggest Brock Purdy fan. I'm just not. Like, I think that's more of a situational thing. He's obviously made big throws in big situations, got them to the Super Bowl. But they had to come back against the Lions. They had to come back against the Packers. I think they, as a team, maybe take a slight step back this year. I'm going to say that the NFC team with the best record will be the Lions.
Ooh.
Yeah. I really like what Detroit's got going there. Team that takes a step forward in the NFC South, I will say the Falcons. And then NFC East, I think it's the Eagles division, and I have the Giants finishing last. That's all I'll say there about the NFC East. We'll talk a little Commanders. Commanders Corner to close out AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. You're live listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Team USA has stormed back to take a 33-34 lead over Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico just got a bucket. They're back on top. I don't know why Derek White keeps shooting threes, Max. Well, why don't they give the ball to KD or Anthony Edwards? It's kind of frustrating here with the way Steve Kerr's messing with the lineups over and over and over again. It's like, don't they want them to develop some kind of chemistry with the squads here ahead of the quarterfinals matchup that is just 3 days away? So we've been talking Olympics and Commanders on the show today. Team USA women's soccer, thanks to Trinity Rodman, gets the win 1-0 over Japan for a spot in the semifinals as they will await the winner of Spain against Colombia, with Colombia on top right now. Actually, no, they're waiting on the winner of Canada versus Germany for a spot in August 6th semifinals at the Olympics. Washington Nationals continue their homestand today against the Milwaukee Brewers. First pitch is at 4:05 with DJ Hurz on the mound for the Washington Nationals, who have lost five straight, falling to 49-61 on the season. 49-61 on the season. But some things that I've been focusing in on, Max, is at home, they have a chance in August to get back to 500. Now, they lose yesterday at home. That sucks. But 23-28, they can get back to 500 with the way the schedule plays out in August. This is part of a 10-game homestand. Then they hit the road and then come back for six more against opponents that you should be able to take out, like the Rockies. So I want the Nationals to get back to 500 at home. That's my goal for the second half of the season. But we did want to close the show by getting back into the Commanders with my preseason bold predictions. So this is based off of what I've seen at training camp and the reports that I've read. You know there's going to be a ton of position battles that take place throughout the preseason, and actually will begin before the preseason with the joint practices next week against the Jets and then the following week against the Dolphins. I think the first one is the one that I think you've heard of others already say, and that's Brandon Coleman looks good. My bold prediction is Brandon Coleman will look like a starting offensive lineman in preseason. He's been doing really good with the ones at the left tackle role or even right tackle throughout training camp. Him looking the part, him playing the part, he's the second most important draft pick this season behind Jane Daniels in my mind. My first bold prediction for the preseason is he'll look like a starting offensive lineman. Second, I'll go over to the defensive side of the ball. And I know this fan base loved Cam Curl, and we kind of wanted him to come back. They replaced him with Jeremy Chinn. I thought Jeremy Chinn did a really good job the 2 days I was there at training camp, up against Zach Ertz in the red zone, up against some of the top receivers for the Commanders, playing over the top as a safety, getting his hand on a few passes. Jeremy Chinn will make a play, either a pass breakup, an interception, a forced fumble, or maybe just a big hit that will have fans forgetting about Cam Curl. That's preseason bold prediction number two. Number three, who's going to be that extra wide receiver that steps up? We know McLaurin's in at number one. We're assuming Jahan Dotson's number two. Hopefully he bounces back from that sophomore slump, has a good season. He was making plays on the sidelines at training camp. Number three, it's Jamison Crowder. Number four, I think they want it to be Luke McCaffrey. They're going to probably keep six receivers. When I was at training camp, Bryson Tremaine had two amazing catches down the sideline. I'm not sure he makes the team. Kazmir Allen had a drop or two. Mitchell Tinsley made a play. Olamide Zaccheaus. Z, Big Z, even though he's 5'8". I kept hearing him. I kept seeing him make splash plays at training camp. My bold prediction in preseason is that he's going to get into the end zone. He will make this team as one of their wide receivers. And then my fourth bold prediction, it has to do with who's going to be the edge rushers. This team had Montez Sweat and Chase Young at this time last year. You know, we thought, who's going to lead this team in sacks? It'll obviously be one of those guys. Even though Montez Sweat was traded in the middle of the season, he still led this team in sacks with 6.5. Who's going to replace those sacks? Could it be Frankie Louvu getting after the quarterback there as a pass rusher? I'm going to point to Cleveland Farrell. And I just think Cleveland Farrell is loving this situation. He wanted to come to Washington. He grew up in Richmond, going to Commanders training camp in Richmond and watching this team play. And when I was at training camp, he was a vocal leader. At one point, he sprinted over to the sidelines to get everybody in the crowd fired up, screaming that this is going to be the defense's day, that they're going to win. I'm excited for Cleveland Farrell. I know this is a second chance opportunity for him. So my bold prediction number four is he will lead the team in sacks in the preseason. Bold prediction number five. We've talked about Adam Peters being a great talent evaluator, and I think he did a good job with the guys he brought in free agency, most notably Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Austin Eckler, Jeremy Chinn. Those guys got me really excited. With the draft, he drafts Jordan McGee later on. He's already ahead of Jamin Davis and being involved in the defense as a playmaker at the linebacker position. Johnny Newton fell to us, and man, does he look like he could be a beast. I've really liked what Adam Peters has done as a talent evaluator. But I think his what's going to really make his mark on this team for this year's offseason is my fifth bold prediction. One guy that he brought in as an undrafted rookie will make a splash, will make this team, will be a guy that we're talking about in preseason. Don't know who that guy is right now, but an undrafted rookie that Adam Peters pointed out, this is my bold prediction number five, will make a splash and will make this team. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Thanks to Max running the ones and twos. Max, what do you think of my bold predictions there? Are they bold enough for you?
I think they're quite bold enough. I think they're quite bold.
So the other one that I will mention here is I really like Jeremy McNichols. That's a running back that I think is going to really push Chris Rodriguez for that third running back position. He is quick. He is small and able to kind of see holes and see the space. Really good when they threw it to him in the screen game during training camp or just dumping it off to him out of the backfield. But, of course, all eyes will be on Jaden Daniels. My hope is that he plays two series in preseason game number one and the entire first quarter and maybe a drive in the second quarter in preseason game number two. I said earlier, my prediction, I could be way wrong on this, I think Dan Quinn names him the starting quarterback. I'll say next Thursday. Next Thursday, Jaden Daniels gets named the starting quarterback. He's doing everything. He's progressing the way they want him to. They're involving him with the ones for those situational drills. Like I said, when Dan Quinn put 28-24 on the scoreboard and said, go win me this game, Jaden, with McLaurin and Dotson on the field along with Zach Ertz. Well, they're going to have to do that against the Jets. And if he can really impress them against the Jets, I think at that point it's time to name him your starting quarterback. You've got the legend and Super Bowl champion, Rick Doc Walker. It's Doc Walker coming up next on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Team USA has stormed back to take a 33-34 lead over Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico just got a bucket. They're back on top. I don't know why Derek White keeps shooting threes, Max. Well, why don't they give the ball to KD or Anthony Edwards? It's kind of frustrating here with the way Steve Kerr's messing with the lineups over and over and over again. It's like, don't they want them to develop some kind of chemistry with the squads here ahead of the quarterfinals matchup that is just 3 days away? So we've been talking Olympics and Commanders on the show today. Team USA women's soccer, thanks to Trinity Rodman, gets the win 1-0 over Japan. for a spot in the semifinals as they will await the winner of Spain against Colombia, with Colombia on top right now. Actually, no, they're waiting on the winner of Canada versus Germany for a spot in August 6th semifinals at the Olympics. Washington Nationals continue their homestand today against the Milwaukee Brewers. First pitch is at 4:05 with DJ Hurz on the mound for the Washington Nationals, who have lost five straight, falling to 49-61 on the season. 49-61 on the season. But some things that I've been focusing in on, Max, is at home, they have a chance in August to get back to 500. Now, they lose yesterday at home. That sucks. But 23-28, they can get back to 500 with the way the schedule plays out in August. This is part of a 10-game homestand. Then they hit the road and then come back for six more against opponents that you should be able to take out, like the Rockies. So I want the Nationals to get back to 500 at home. That's my goal for the second half of the season. But we did want to close the show by getting back into the Commanders with my preseason bold predictions. So this is based off of what I've seen at training camp and the reports that I've read. You know there's going to be a ton of position battles that take place throughout the preseason, and actually will begin before the preseason with the joint practices next week against the Jets and then the following week against the Dolphins. I think the first one is the one that I think you've heard others already say, and that's Brandon Coleman looks good. My bold prediction is Brandon Coleman will look like a starting offensive lineman in preseason. He's been doing really good with the ones at the left tackle role or even right tackle throughout training camp. Him looking the part, him playing the part, it makes it, he's the second most important draft pick this season behind Jaden Daniels in my mind. My first bold prediction for the preseason is he'll look like a starting offensive lineman. Second, I'll go over to the defensive side of the ball. And I know this fan base loved Cam Curl, and we kind of wanted him to come back. They replaced him with Jeremy Chinn. I thought Jeremy Chinn did a really good job the 2 days I was there at training camp, up against Zach Ertz in the red zone, up against some of the top receivers for the Commanders, playing over the top as a safety, getting his hand on a few passes. I think Jeremy Chinn will make a play, either a pass breakup, an interception, a forced fumble, or maybe just a big hit that will have fans forgetting about Cam Curl. That's preseason bold prediction number two. Number three, who's going to be that extra wide receiver that steps up? We know McLaurin's in at number one. We're assuming Jahan Dotson's number two. Hopefully he bounces back from that sophomore slump, has a good season. He was making plays on the sidelines at training camp. Number three, it's Jamison Crowder. Number four, I think they want it to be Luke McCaffrey. They're going to probably keep six receivers. When I was at training camp, Bryson Tremaine had two amazing catches down the sideline. I'm not sure he makes the team. Kazmir Allen had a drop or two. Mitchell Tinsley made a play. Olamide Zaccheaus. Zaccheaus. Z, big Z, even though he's 5'8". I kept hearing him. I kept seeing him make splash plays at training camp. My bold prediction in preseason is that he's going to get into the end zone. He will make this team as one of their wide receivers. And then my fourth bold prediction, it has to do with who's going to be the edge rushers. This team had Montez Sweat and Chase Young at this time last year. You know, we thought, who's going to lead this team in sacks? It'll obviously be one of those guys. Even though Montez Sweat was traded in the middle of the season, he still led this team in sacks with 6.5. Who's going to replace those sacks? Could it be Frankie Louvu getting after the quarterback there as a pass rusher? I'm going to point to Cleveland Farrell. And I just think Cleveland Farrell is loving this situation. He wanted to come to Washington. He grew up in Richmond, going to Commanders training camp in Richmond and watching this team play. And when I was at training camp, he was a vocal leader. At one point, he sprinted over to the sidelines to get everybody in the crowd fired up, screaming that this is going to be the defense's day, that they're going to win. I'm excited for Cleveland Farrell. I know this is a second chance opportunity for him. So my bold prediction number four is he will lead the team in sacks in the preseason. Bold prediction number five. We've talked about Adam Peters being a great talent evaluator, and I think he did a good job with the guys he brought in free agency Most notably, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Austin Eckler, Jeremy Chinn. Those guys got me really excited. With the draft, he drafts Jordan McGee later on. He's already ahead of Jamin Davis and being involved in the defense as a playmaker at the linebacker position. Johnny Newton fell to us, and man, does he look like he could be a beast. I've really liked what Adam Peters has done as a talent evaluator, but I think his what's going to really make his mark on this team for this year's offseason is my fifth bold prediction. One guy that he brought in as an undrafted rookie will make a splash, will make this team, will be a guy that we're talking about in preseason. Don't know who that guy is right now, but an undrafted rookie that Adam Peters pointed out is my bold prediction number five, will make a splash and will make this team. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Thanks to Max running the ones and twos. Max, what do you think of my bold predictions there? Are they bold enough for you?
I think they're quite bold enough. I think they're quite bold.
So the other one that I will mention here is I really like Jeremy McNichols. That's a running back that I think is going to really push Chris Rodriguez for that third running back position. He is quick. He is small and able to kind of see holes and see the space. Really good when they threw it to him in the screen game during training camp or just dumping it off to him out of the backfield. But, of course, all eyes will be on Jaden Daniels. My hope is that he plays two series in preseason game number one and the entire first quarter and maybe a drive in the second quarter in preseason game number two. I said earlier, my prediction, I could be way wrong on this, I think Dan Quinn names him the starting quarterback. I'll say next Thursday. Next Thursday, Jaden Daniels gets named the starting quarterback. He's doing everything. He's progressing the way they want him to. They're involving him with the ones for those situational drills, like I said, when Dan Quinn put 28-24 on the scoreboard and said, go win me this game, Jaden, with McLaurin and Dotson on the field along with Zach Ertz. Well, they're going to have to do that against the Jets. And if he can really impress them against the Jets, I think at that point it's time to name him your starting quarterback. You've got the legend and Super Bowl champion, Rick Doc Walker. It's Doc Walker coming up next on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.